Thus, when the system started breaking up, and the leaders of the system, and eventually on all levels, ceased to be certain and sure of what is going to happen tomorrow, their orders became, of course, the surveillance became much less strict. So eventually the system started regaining its positive qualities. Public subsidy, independence of the market, interest in art, and the creators of film, that means the filmmakers, the scriptwriters of us, were getting more and more of the control of the industry and of the production. And so I would say the nationalized system, the state system of cinema, the public subsidized system, could be the worst of all if it's very well and very tightly supervised and ruled. But on the contrary, it can, as the Czech director now living in the United States, Ivan Passer, once said, when the system falls apart, this is the best system you can ever have, and the filmmakers were never so free, relatively free, as they were in the 60s in Czechoslovakia, and that showed. And of course, that is not true only about Czechoslovakia, it's true of all others, other film industries in the East. At different moments, for different periods of time, the same thing eventually happens. And I believe that something like that is also happening these days in the Soviet Union.
The freedom from the censor and the freedom from the market. Are these the conditions for the emergence of the new way?
Yeah, well, freedom is probably a very big word. But I would say a relative independence, you know, because a relative independence from the market, for instance, in the West, you don't have it at all. So that means the market is an enormously powerful censor. And so the situation is very complicated. We cannot go into the details here.
One of the impressive things about the new wave is that it didn't produce just one, two, or three films. It produced 20 great films. Among the best knowns are Fireman's Ball, The Party and the Guest, My Good Countryman. What do you think these films had in common? What was the common denominator that made them so powerful?
Well, I believe that since Lenin once said that the film was the most important art for us, that means the Bolsheviks, so film gained obligatorily a very important place and position in all socialist cultures. And I would say it's in Bohemia, for instance, in Czechoslovakia, since the 1930s, a round film eventually gathered and coalesced the best artists from all different disciplines. This very positive development of Czech film as an art form was stopped twice, once in 1938-39, and for the second time in the Stalinist era, after 1948, and for a different reason again once more in 1958. So that means in the 60s, eventually three generations of Czech filmmakers eventually got the possibility to do for the first time in their lifetime what they wanted to do. And that's why you said 20 films, I would say you had practically 15 directors of all generations. Some of them were 60, the oldest one, the youngest one were a little over 20, and they were doing exactly the same thing, with different experience, with different styles, but within the same framework. And I believe that was the reason why this small film production, which was the Czechoslovak film production in the 60s, became one of the most important in Europe. Look, in 1968, Czechoslovakia, the Czechoslovak film, was represented in the main competition at the Cannes Film Festival by three films. That never happened to another film industry but the American, the French, and the British, the Italian sometimes. Once or twice. So that means that was disproportionate, if you want to, if you wish, but there were reasons for that. Now, all that was unfortunately destroyed completely after 1969, in the normalization period. I would say all the, not only the filmmakers, not only the ambition, but also all sequels, I would say, of this marvelous creative period of the 60s were wiped out, were burned out.
Was there another reason that made the New Wave powerful, that there was a lot of interaction of writers, of filmmakers, of all the artists that were all converging towards the film industry?
That's what I said. In the 30s, it already happened, and it came back in the 60s, and this Prague is, of course, a small place, but an enormously inspiring place, and these people, it means writers, painters, musicians, filmmakers, meet every day twice between themselves. So then eventually the interaction is enormous, yes.
Could I be more specific about some of the films? The Party and the Guest, why was the film so significant? And in particular, why was that last sequence considered so powerful for
the viewers? You had basically three ways in which, that means the Czech films were never overtly, I would say, political. They were metaphorically political. And three different approaches developed during the 60s. One was, I would say, the kind of fable approach, a thoroughly metaphoric approach, which would not try to describe the real situation, but choose a poetic metaphor, which would eventually show mainly the structures of the situation. Party and the Guest was probably the most significant of those, because through a parable, through a poetic metaphor, it eventually showed the functioning and the moral and the moral structure of Stalinist system. You have at the center of the party, you have of the film, you have a feast, you have a big dinner, where everybody is invited to be happy and at the same time declare their loyalty to the man whose birthday is being celebrated. And everybody is, of course, the whole thing, the whole celebration is taking place in very awkward conditions, in a swamp, with food which is not so good, with people who got there under very difficult circumstances. Eventually their attire is torn, and they are not that happy as they should be. And at the moment where one of them eventually gets up and says, well, okay, I'm not interested, and starts walking away. So then they all realize that if one walks away, they are all compromised. So they are chasing him and start a chase with dogs and everything, because somebody broke this silent loyalty, and somebody decided that he will act as an individual, which is terribly dangerous for the majority.
So that is one parable, but you said that there were three.
The other one is irony. You don't have really you have some satirical films which were not so good, but you have ironic metaphors. The master of the ironic metaphor became Miloš Forman, obviously. And again, Miloš Forman eventually tried to describe small chunks of life which eventually, under the microscope of his camera and of his poetic imagination, became a fantastic portrait of the society. I like to tell my students that when I was a child, my uncle, who was a university professor at medical school in biology and anthropology, invited my family to lunch, and I was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old and didn't wash my hands before lunch. And my uncle, the professor, took me by my hand and took me in his lab, into his lab, and put my little finger under the microscope and said, look. And I looked at my finger. What I saw was so horrifying that I had started washing my hands not only before lunch, but again and again. And I think that's what exactly Forman is doing. He's putting a little finger of the society, or a little square millimeter of the society under the microscope, like in Fireman's Ball, like in Black Peter and so forth, and shows the society what it looks like. Fireman's Ball, which is really telling a funny story of a ball, of a celebration.